B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He declined that player option of $30 million with the intent that he could work out with the Celtics a new deal that might extend over probably over 3 years. That's what the Celtics would have liked to do. He's 33 years old. But they could not come to an agreement on what those terms might be like. You can negotiate with your own free agent, and he has not officially declined it yet. He intends to decline it. And so he's going to head out into the marketplace, and he has a belief, I think his agent has a belief, that there is likely a four-year deal for him at 33 years old. That would pay him significantly more than the Celtics were willing to offer.
Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. That's the voice you just heard. Discussing a report that first dropped last night from Steve Bolpet, first to be on it, of the Boston Herald. Reporting that Al Horford is departing. He's had enough of being a Boston Celtic. We had the news yesterday, happened during this show, that he was going to be opting out. He was going to be a free agent come July 1st, but the original report yesterday, right around this time, was that it was with an idea and an eye toward coming back to the Celtics on a three-year deal. And that's sort of what the reporting has been in recent weeks, that he could come back at a lower number over the next 3 years. Well, things have changed. Things have changed quickly. Al Horford is probably going to leave. Al Horford is now expected to leave. He's now expected to go elsewhere and get a four-year deal. Wojnarowski says his agent is confident he will get that four-year deal to go elsewhere and maybe have a better chance to win. I expect that he knows where he's going. He knows. How else would this happen? He's got to know, right? He's got to have a pretty good idea. It's got to be narrowed down to a couple of teams.
You don't say no to over $30 million for one more year without having a real good idea that you can go sign for 4 years somewhere else and make a ton of money. He's got that locked up in a couple of different situations for sure. Of course, $30 million, that's real money. One more year, $30 million, and if he didn't have anything set, Beetle, he would opt in and take that $30.1 million for the 19-20 season and then go do all this next year. That's what he would do, but he's got it right now. I don't know where it is, but he's got it.
Because his chances, I will say this though, Hardy, his chances of getting the long-term deal are better this year than they are a year from now.
Because he's going to be
a year older.
Right. Sure.
So he thinks he's got a good chance to get a four-year deal at significant dollars right now.
Right.
And if he thinks that, it's not because he just thinks it and woke up one morning and goes, gee, I think I have a four-year deal out there somewhere in fairyland waiting for me.
No,
it's because his agent is making phone calls and is doing backdoor deals like everybody in the NBA does. And all of a sudden, his agent says, Al, I've been talking to a couple of teams. I've got multiple four-year offers from good teams that are going to be contending. The Celtics, they just have a bunch of young guys. They're like the Hawks. You've already played for the Hawks. You don't want to play for the Hawks again. Let's get out of here. And Al then said, okay, all right, cool, let's do it. And so that's what happened. And that's why within a day, we're finding this out.
But I don't think it's this year as opposed to next year. So what? Next year, he would only be able to get a three-year deal? You know, you're going to get $30 million for this year. Next year, as a 34-year-old, do you think he'd be able to sign a three-year deal?
Right, but when you have a limited window left in your career and you're trying to chase a championship, you're only going to have so many kicks at the can.
And that's the reason. It's not the 4 years this year that I can't. Oh, come on. I want four. You guys are only giving me three. Stop with that nonsense. You honestly think that everyone's going to believe. The reason why you're leaving the Celtics is because they're only offering three. You'd only be able to get a three-year deal, and you can go somewhere else and get four. You're guaranteed to get over $30 million for one more year if you just opt in, and then you roll the dice and see what happens. No, he wants out. He wants out.
Well, why can't it be both? Why can't it be both reasons? That he can get a better team with a better chance of winning, and he can get more money in the form of more years.
But stop with a better team. Stop with a better team and a better chance of winning. That's it. I mean,
let's assume the money is equal.
The money is equal.
Let's assume it's equal.
It is. It's no one can tell their future. Who knows? Who knows what happens after, you know, he gets hurt and he only manages to pocket $30 million for this season.
Only 31-ish.
It's an obscene amount of money either way you look at it. But don't lose sight of what's happening here. What's happening is he wants to go somewhere else because he doesn't think they're going to be able to win here.
He also just saw Kevin Durant shred his Achilles and Klay Thompson tear his ACL in the finals.
Absolutely. This guy's 33 years old. He's not young. Not a spring chicken.
Why is our old intern out there on a tour? I mean, I don't mean to play the role of Zolak here, but our old intern had just walked by the studio, giving us that.
No, you are doing exactly that. You are playing the role of Zolak, and I'd appreciate that you not play the role of Zolak.
Well, now they're all staring. Now I got to look the other way. I'll look the other way. All right, go
look ahead. That way.
Look at our other.
Thank you,
goofy intern. Jesus,
who works with that intern? By the way, they go to school together, and now you've turned me into Zolak. Damn it. But no, you're right.
He wants to leave.
He doesn't want to play with a group of kids who he doesn't think is capable of winning a championship. That's what this is. It's confirmation of what the rest of us have talked about the last couple of days. Can this group win at all? No. Al Horford agrees. Al Horford doesn't think this group can win. And that may even be an assessment of himself in all of this in some weird way.
Oh, he doesn't think that his 14 points a night and his four assists that he averaged this past season are gonna be.
Listen, I'm not gonna turn today into dumping on Al Horford because I like Al Horford a lot. I think Al Horford's a valuable piece, and this team is better with him than without him.
Okay, I came
now. Is he worth $31 million a year? Probably not. No. But he's a good player.
I came to respect his game, and I came to have a better understanding of what he meant out there on the floor. But I don't think this in any way puts them in an exponentially worse situation going forward than it did 2 days ago when we just thought it was, wow, Kyrie Irving probably not re-signing, Anthony Davis not coming here. Now you're going to say Al Horford is leaving? How much does it really change? How much does it change the Celtics? And when you look at the money, Beetle, in a weird way, is this maybe the best thing that could happen for them right now? Because as nice a piece as he is, and as other players would like to play with him, he's not going to be the difference maker when it comes to getting a free agent to sign here.
Can I tell you what
He's not going to be the difference maker when it comes to wins or losses without a superstar here. He's not the difference maker.
Can I tell you what hurts about this, though? Is that it continues to sort of further what has happened here, and that is superstars have come and now superstars have left. Al Horford was the first free agent to say, yeah, I want to go to Boston, and I'm choosing Boston of my own free will. I can go anywhere, and I'm choosing the Celtics. And as soon as he could leave, he left. And this follows it feels like it's following Kyrie's decision, even though that's not official yet. It's coming at the same time as Kyrie, I believe, leaving town as well.
But it happens with other teams too. I think that speaks to today's NBA more than anything else. It's not an indictment of Boston. It's what we've seen other players do with other teams.
Maybe not a Boston thing. Maybe not something related to the city, but just this particular team. And the coach and the current team itself. Not the city, not that aspect of who wants to live and play in Boston, not that element. I'm talking about this coach and this current group. This Celtics team. Who wants to be around this group and this chemistry and this coach and with this GM?
One guy
like
got,
this, not right. About the Boston thing.
Right.
And I'm talking about what's happening right now and the current guys that are there.
Right. The first guy that chose to come here, signed here, and he's not going to stay. Another guy who got
He's the adult in the room. Everyone universally will tell you that he's the most mature, most, adult thinking one in the room. Professional. right?
He's a
hardworking.
He's a grown-up.
He's a grown-up.
Right.
Very intelligent guy.
Yeah.
He came, and when he could get out the door, he did. He said bye.
And Kyrie did the same thing after he was traded here. His first opportunity to leave, he's gone.
He did. After he reportedly wanted to go to Boston as well and wanted to be a part of this team, he wanted to leave. That's all. That part of it scares me. Like, what's the image of this team and this coach and this group right now across the league?
Across the league, guys are thinking the same way. They look at teams and they see who's there and they see what is going to give me the best chance to join either an already established super team or a team that's building toward a super team where we can have a guaranteed shot at least a conference finals. I really don't think it speaks to any misgivings or any second thoughts about Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge and the Celtics and Boston and everything that means. I think it just you see between Kyrie and Al Horford what's going on all over the league. You see guys just leaving to go to that next thing that looks in sometimes a little bit better, sometimes a lot better. What do you want, like, loyalty to Brad Stevens? I'm not expecting any of these guys to show any kind of love or any kind of dedication toward a city that they had only been to on road trips a handful of times before they moved here 3 or 4 years ago. I think it just felt like the Celtics,
going back a couple of years, were really building something and building towards something, and now it feels it's going in the complete opposite direction.
It feels like they were a destination even just a year ago. Yep. Right now, it does not feel like they're a destination.
It feels like it's going in the opposite direction. They're becoming the opposite of that. They're becoming a place you want to avoid. Right. I don't want to go there.
Yeah, because they lost in the second round of the playoffs.
I think it's related to all the things that have happened off the court. I think it's related to guys who have had the chance to leave and have now left. And it really is these two guys. They're two, really, you could argue, their biggest stars that they've had. And Kyrie and Al Horford are leaving town.
They have
the chance to leave, and they're opting to leave. They don't want to be here anymore.
They have very little patience, and in Al Horford's case, I don't necessarily blame him. 33 years old, he's like, look, I don't have time to be patient if I want a ring.
Let's talk about the chemistry with the team, because Jackie McMullen was on NBC Sports Boston last night with Gary Tangway. She had some thoughts and opinions on that. Clearly marked as thoughts and opinions. That she offered up last night on television. We'll get to that and more on Al Horford. A shocker last night. Al Horford has decided he's going to leave. He's going to go elsewhere on a 4-year deal somewhere. Destination unknown. Could it be L.A.? Could it be the Lakers? Could Al be going to the Lakers too? Oh, man, this could get worse. It could get worse.
Oh, man.
We'll get to your calls as well. Coming up, don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Where it really went wrong was with the team chemistry.
Yes, and I think you hate to pick on Gordon Hayward because he was coming back from an injury and he was doing the best he could in a tough situation. But I really think that's where it started. They were force-feeding Gordon Hayward on his teammates. Brad knew Gordon well, wanted to give him his confidence back. I would contend that Brad Stevens would have done that for any player on that roster that had had a catastrophic injury. He would have wanted to fill him with the same confidence, but that's not what happened. What happened was he gave the benefit of the doubt over and over and over to a player who wasn't ready, to a guy who had history with him, and it rankled that locker room, and it bothered that locker room. And then I think they drew conclusions from it that probably weren't even fair or accurate, but it doesn't matter. If you feel that way, then it's real. Jackie, and that's where it started, in my opinion.
again, that's an opinion from one of the best basketball writers, not only in Boston, but in the country, Jackie McMullen, on NBC Sports Boston last night.
I was on with Jackie last night.
You were on that set right there?
I don't know. At that moment, I think on the next segment we're on together. But she was just crazy as all this was, like, you know, going down and happening. And then, you know.
So how about that? I guess it wasn't all Kyrie, was it now? Brad Stevens putting his boy, his guy, into the game, giving him a lot of minutes coming back, sort of upset some people in that locker room, upset some teammates, disrupted the chemistry of the team. Gordon Hayward, as a caller pointed out yesterday, was the new guy in the mix last year, not Kyrie. And then he got everybody pissed off with Gordon Hayward getting a lot of minutes. And as Jackie McMullen said, Brad Stevens probably would have done this for any player coming back off a significant injury. It was not because it was Gordon Hayward. It was not because of their history together. It was not because Gordon Hayward had played at Butler for Brad Stevens. He did it because the guy was coming back off an injury and needed to get right and needed minutes to sort of work it out. But it didn't matter. It was how the players in the locker room perceived it. And they perceived it to be, oh, Brad's taking care of his guy. Is he taking care of me? Why isn't he taking care of me? And so, yeah, that probably was Kyrie Irving. It probably was Jason Tatum and Brown and Smart and name everybody on the roster. You know who it probably wasn't? You know who probably wasn't thinking like that? And probably looked at the rest of the room and said, these guys are a bunch of clowns. The guy who today decided he's leaving, Al Horford. I guarantee you that if there was one guy in the room who looked at that and said, this is ridiculous, and probably did that a lot last year, and probably looked at the room and thought to himself, oh, here we go again. Let me roll my eyes at this ridiculousness in this room. It was Al Horford. Right? He probably looked at this thing over and over and over again and thought, oh, what did I do to deserve this? Why did I come here again? Why?
He came here because they cheered at the team that he beat in the playoffs, remember?
Yes. Right.
Standing ovation at the end of the game.
They got good fans that care here, and they've got ownership that spends money, and I like Danny and I like Brad, but man, the players here, what a bunch of crybabies you are. At the end of the season, I got to sit here and listen to Terry Rozier talk about his sacrifices. Oh, my God. Kid, play for like five more years before you. Will you stop it already? He probably sat there and watched that and then thought, you know what? I'm going to come back and play with these guys again? No. No, I'm not coming back to that. I'm not coming back to this group where I know I'm not going to win. I'm not going to win there. We're not contending for a title there, so why do I want to go back and play with that group of guys again? I'm good. I'm all set with that. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go somewhere else and get a clean break from that. I don't need that headache again. And that's probably what it comes down to. That chemistry issue where you had it to the point where Gordon Hayward got minutes and the whole room was pissed. Last year.
They had to have been pissed at Stevens, though, right? They can't be pissed at Gordon, right?
Yeah, no. They're probably, well, who knows? They're probably pissed at both, the way it sounds. They're mad at everybody. Mad at Gordon Hayward for getting minutes. Mad at the coach for giving him the minutes. Mad at everybody. Everybody's just mad because everybody is just so disrespected on that team. That's sort of the tone of that team. Everybody feels disrespected by somebody.
Yes. They felt disrespected last year. They're really going to feel disrespected when they're picked to finish like seventh in the East.
They will have earned that. They will have fully earned that. That will not be disrespect. They will be getting their full respect when that happens. I can tell them that. I can absolutely guarantee them that. And that's what it is. That's another example of that. They'll just feel so disrespected.
That won't be disrespect. That will be an honest assessment of their chances and likelihood. Jim doesn't believe it.
I'm just shaking my head. I can't believe like Horford's leaving. I didn't care about Kyrie leaving. I care about Horford leaving.
I think most Celtics fans feel exactly the same way. I will say this. You know me. I've been a Horford guy the whole time he's been here. I was really excited when they got him. I was not looking forward to age 35 and age 36 Al Horford. I just wasn't. So the back half of this deal, assuming it's a four-year deal that he gets elsewhere, you won't miss that. You'll miss Al Horford in the next couple of years, though. That's for sure. And He's an easy guy to like, isn't he? I mean, this is an easy guy to like.
I didn't like the signing. I'm a convert.
You are. You are. That's right. You are a convert. I was on the Al Horford train from day one. You've converted.
You see him play every game. You realize it.
Al's an easy player to like, in my opinion.
I don't know if he's easy. Like, he's hard to dislike.
Okay.
You know, and
I think we're saying the same thing, aren't we?
Pretty much. He doesn't do anything wrong. My biggest complaint about Al Horford, and it never really changed, is that he never did quite enough to my liking. And I was told by, you know, indirectly from the likes of Jackie McMullen, you know, that going back to a couple seasons ago, that, you know, you're not seeing the game well enough. You don't know. And I kind of like scoffed at that notion, but I started watching a little bit more. I'm like, okay, all right, I got myself to the point where I could see it and I could appreciate what he did away from the ball, how he did facilitate his defense, I guess probably most accurately. And to that end, he served as a really good, you know, I guess a base, you know, some stability for this team, for some guys who didn't necessarily need whatever else he was able to contribute offensively, but they needed the stability. They needed the maturity that he brought to the locker room. And I mean, this team, you could argue, needs it now more than ever as they kind of go off into the unknown without their dedicated superstar point guard. And they're in a state of flux right now. How nice would it have been to have Al Horford here? Even if he wasn't here for the full blown next, you know, great incarnation of the Celtics for the transition period, it's not going
to
happen.
Well, that's my concern. What type of message does this send to the rest of the NBA? Because if Al Horford's saying, I don't want to play with these kids because of the things that went on behind the scenes, if Al Horford is saying that, if you're superstar X out there, player who could eventually come to the Celtics, what type of draw are Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum right now? Kyrie didn't like playing with them. Al Horford wanted out. When those two guys want out, what does that make Boston as a type of destination? To me, that's my major concern about
this. Kyrie wanted out because it was going to be too hard and it was going to be too much work to figure out how this was going to work. Al Horford wants out because, and this is my belief, it's not so much a personality thing as, I don't have a ring yet.
Right.
I got to go get
one. Depends
on
where he goes. You better hope he goes to a really good team that's in contention.
Oh.
If he doesn't, that's going to look really bad for the Celtics.
Signs a four-year deal with the Timberwolves?
Yeah, we better root for Al Horford, and we all better hope that he ends up with a really good team that's in contention, because if he doesn't, it's a horrible look for the Celtics. It is. Right? We all agree on that?
Oh, yeah.
Al Horford better be ring-chasing right now, or else it does look bad. You can't have that. Yesterday, what did we say? Oh, it looks bad for the Celtics, and, you know, we sort of talked about it. And, Jim, you said, no, it doesn't. You know, Kyrie's crazy. Everyone knows Kyrie's a little nuts and that he could be, you know, petulant. He could be hard to deal with. He's difficult. Al Horford? No. If you drove Al Horford away, if you made him leave the group, well, then that's a different story. And that reflects poorly on the group.
Yeah, and then also the money he's going to get from these teams out west that are going to give him a four-year deal. And the fact that guys are getting hurt. So I think it's all part of it. I don't think it's the only reason he's leaving.
The money could be a factor.
Chance to win a title, the money, the length of the contract, all that stuff.
617-779-0985. We'll get to the headlines. I promise we'll get to your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yeah. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
I like Al Horford for the Celtics. I think he would be a huge loss for them. I see him as a bigger loss than losing Kyrie.
Right.
His defense, his ability to guard guys over his size, under his size, did a great job on Giannis in the playoffs, as we all watch. But there again, his presence on both ends of the court is important. And I think losing him would be huge for the Celtics. I mean, you don't replace an Al Horford.
Scottie Pippen, former Bull, has got Al Horford as a bigger loss than Kyrie Irving. Billy Lanny's on our show today. He's filling in for T-Bone. Loving life. Loving life. Billy's got Scottie Pippen down as not only a great NBA player, but as someone who's got a future in reading audiobooks.
Over his size, under his size, did a great job on Giannis in the playoffs, as we all watch.
Yeah, I could listen. I could. Dulcet tones.
Depends on the book.
You said the phone book.
Have you ever listened to an audiobook? Are you an audiobook guy?
I haven't in years, but I have.
I don't think I ever have.
On long drives, I listened to Into Thin Air, as read by the author, John Krakauer. And I think I listened to Thomas Harris reading Hannibal. I think he was the one doing the reading, also the author. But, you know, literally two. And David Sedaris. I've listened to David Sedaris doing his own stuff. But that's kind of interesting. But the other stuff, I don't feel compelled to do any more of it. No.
So you have. The answer to that question would be yes.
Yeah, and I just told you which ones.
Yeah, great.
Okay. Great. Did you want to know or not really?
No, not really. I was just wondering if you were one of those people.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I've done it, but I wouldn't say I'm one of those people.
Okay, you're not one of those people.
Nope.
617-779-0985. That's a phone number for you. You want to jump on board and discuss the latest news, which is Al Horford is deciding to leave town. What a blow to the Celtics. What a blow. The good news is they'll have cap space. High 20s. I'm seeing $28 million. $28 million seems to be the number that the NBA writers have settled on is the number that will be freed up.
Okay.
That doesn't matter. It's just that what they're freeing up.
Basketball players, McTankey.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, so.
Is important.
It's
important.
So let's just, because I don't think you've answered this yet, Beadle.
What?
On the surface, it's a bad thing. Is this a bad thing? You feel bad about this? Or?
Yeah, right now it's bad. For the 2019-2020 season, yeah, it's bad. It's not good for the Celtics. For the 2021-22 season and for the 2022-23 season, yeah, it's a good thing. That's what I was not looking forward to with Al Horford was the back end of that deal, the back half as he started to break down and gets into his mid to late 30s. No thanks.
Yeah. I guess
right? You can always trade bad contracts at the end. I thought there were some signs last year of Al Horford starting to slow down a little bit and needing to manage his rest and his minutes and, you know, load management, as they're now calling it in the NBA, but still very valuable piece, okay? It is, and we talked to Brad Stevens about it a little bit in our various interviews. We interview him once a week on this show. We talked to him about managing Al Horford as he gets older. We did. We talked to him about it a couple of times last year. So I think we'd started to see that a little bit. And so I don't think it was a major concern, very minor concern over the next season or two. But, you know, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, I think you're looking at something else.
Yeah, I didn't have very high expectations for next year. Let me rephrase that. I had no expectations for the upcoming season. I thought they were going to be, a middling team at best.
Yeah, I still want them to be the best possible team, though.
For what? What, you want them to get into the playoffs and lose in the first round?
Well, I still want them to be the best possible product to watch. And as a team, I mean, you still strive to be the best possible team you could be.
I guess. I
don't want them to just be, you know, a team that, oh, we sell our tickets and, you know, come watch our basketball team. I don't want them to be one of those teams.
But I
still want them to strive to be the best possible team they can put out there.
Oh, sure. Be the best you can be. All that. I'm not discounting that. But I also feel that the cliche, as it has become, that the worst thing you can be in the NBA is, you know, one of those just get into the playoff teams. Because it fills you with a false sense of security in terms of what you can accomplish and what you can be. And everybody falls victim to it at the beginning of the postseason. It's like, hey, we're in. If this happens and this matchup and all this, and we can take down
but
the
Hardy,
one seed.
But, even without Al Horford, do you think they're a playoff team?
I wasn't convinced they were a playoff team with Al Horford.
Oh, yes, they were. Yes, they were. Come on.
The way the East is changing?
Hardy, they're a playoff team.
Okay, now you're right, because everybody makes the playoffs. So what?
No, they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
And they probably...
A ton of bad teams make the playoffs. So what?
Yeah, and they're
like
still...
A playoff team is some kind of benchmark that you want to achieve.
And without
Al
Horford...
It's not that much of an accomplishment.
They've still got enough to make the playoffs.
So what?
It's not a sure thing. It's not a slam dunk.
I don't want a team that just makes the playoffs. I really don't. It's a bad way to run your basketball team. This isn't my theory. This has been out there for a long time.
No,
now.
I understand. Building from the middle is like impossible to do.
You can't do it. It's better to do it now. Fine. I don't like it because you're doing is losing another good player. I still don't know what Gordon Hayward is going to be. We all assume that Jason Tatum is going to improve. Although he didn't improve much last year, you think Jaylen Brown's going to get better. I like Marcus Smart. You know, there are likable elements to this team, and there are reasons to be optimistic. But were they going to do anything with it in this next year? I didn't think so. So now they're really not going to do anything.
Tim is in New Hampshire. Hey, Tim.
Hey, I was thinking about the rumor, it's a three-way team. It's Chris Paul, Gordon Hayward, and Andrew Wiggins. Like, what it was, I think it'd be a good trade with Chris Paul to Boston and Hayward to Minnesota and Andrew Wiggins to Houston. And I think Chris Paul would be a good leader for Boston because since how Kyrie possibly go and leave to go on Nets, and Chris Paul is older, but he still has that young talent in him and be
why would leader. Yeah, why do you think that Gordon Hayward would be attractive for any team right now?
Well, he's still a good all-star player, and
right now?
Yeah, like I still think he is.
Well, he might be next year. You're right. He might be next year. But he isn't right now. And right now, if you're looking at him as a trade piece, he's not that valuable right now. And I don't think Chris Paul's the answer.
Not only that.
I would just trade Hayward for Wiggins if that was the offer. Straight up. Forget involving Houston.
Yeah.
If you're going to trade him, just trade him for the younger guy.
Yeah.
There is this like fake trade rumor that is out there that this caller just referenced that is sort of taken hold of Twitter that comes from nowhere. Wiggins to Houston, Chris Paul to Boston, Gordon Hayward to Minnesota. It has zero sources to it.
Three bad contracts.
Yeah.
That's just as sourceful as my Mike Conley for Gordon Hayward
right.
thing.
It's just someone came up with this idea.
I thought of it.
If that's your suggestion, just tell me why that gets done and what the motivation is for the teams to do that deal.
Potential trade was floated earlier today by somebody in Boston affiliated with the Celtics as in their flagship radio station. I mean, that's how rumors like that come about.
Source close to the team.
Right. Well, mileage-wise, you are. Not that far. Chris Paul, Beadle. You want Chris Paul?
I don't think Chris Paul does much for this team. Nope. I don't know what that solves.
Not with Horford gone.
Yeah, I don't
with
know.
With Horford here, you could kind of sell it as a one-year run.
Yeah, I don't know.
Even though you're paying him more
I don't know what
year.
That solves for the team. But if you can...
It eats up all your cap space, that's for sure. $40 million.
Sure does. But in that deal, do you get rid of Hayward in that deal for Chris Paul? Was that the suggestion?
Yeah. So 30, so 10 million of your cap space.
And it's only one more year, Chris Paul, right?
No.
How many years left?
It's like 39, 41, 42, and 44, something like
that. One more years?
I think there might be three more. The final year is a $44 million player option.
No, I'm not doing that.
Can we
stop that? No more Chris Paul.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Can we break news right now?
Yeah.
He's going to pick up that player option 3 years from now for $44 million?
I'd like to report. I'd like to make a report. This is a report. It's not opinion. Breaking news. Chris Paul will be picking up his player option.
Holy crap.
3 years left, 38, 41, and 44. And
44
is 44. The player option.
He'll be picking up his $44 million player
Did
option.
Did Houston sign him to that deal?
I'd like to report
that. Remember he opted in and then got traded? He opted in to get more money with the Clippers, and then it was the trade that they made.
Oh, God.
They sent, like, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell.
$44 million. Oh, my God.
Don't get me wrong.
36 years old.
He's a really nice player.
He's how
player.
Old?
He will be 36 when he's making $44 million
in
2021.
God. $44 million. He's going to be 36. What a deal. What a businessman.
New rules on salaries. Guy. Once you hit 30, you have to make less than 30, and you keep going down as you get older.
Yep, that's a good rule. I like that. At 30 years old, you make 30, and then every year after, you get minus at least a million. So at 35, you can make no more than $25 million. That's a rule. Hard and fast rule in the NBA.
Your age and salary should not be allowed to exceed $60 million.
That's a great way of putting it. Exactly right. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Hardy in for Zoe today. We've got McTakey on headlines to get you caught
that
up at the top
works.
Of the hour.
Al Horford next year, the most he could make is $26 million. Yes.
We've got something on Kyrie Irving that was reported yesterday. Again, we're clearly marking everything today, whether it be reported or opinion. It's a new policy we've instituted here since yesterday in reading the Ben Volen opinion piece.
Yeah,
I almost called it a report.
Again.
I think it's a report now, apparently.
It's a report again?
That's what he said this morning.
He called it a report again.
No, he did.
No, he did.
No, dead serious, he did.
He wants people to prove him wrong. What's he proving wrong? His opinion?
So we'll get to Kyrie Irving at the top of the hour. We'll jump to a few more of your calls coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There are multiple reports, or I should say opinions from reporters. Let me clarify. Opinions from reporters. Like what I'm doing there, Hardy? Being very specific.
I see what you're
doing. One for Brian Mahoney, NBA writer for the AP. He had a tweet about Al Horford who said, Horford more than Irving is the Celtics player who would fit with what the Nets need to make a leap. He put that out at 8:30 last night. A. Sherrod Blakely, who we all know, NBC Sports Boston, he had a tweet that said a couple hours ago, a team to keep an eye on in the Al Horford sweepstakes is the Brooklyn Nets, league source says. Now, that's a straight report. That's not an opinion. League sources. That's a source. That's a report. The Nets are a team on the rise. Al's close ties to head coach Kenny Atkinson and the team's cap space mentioned as the main reasons. Al could be going to the Nets. It says here, according to a league source, to A. Sherrod Blakely. Jeff Goodman, on the other hand, has said, he replied directly to this tweet, I just do not see Al playing on a team with Kyrie again. I would be beyond surprised if that happens. He had also tweeted separately that he would count out Al going to the Nets if Kyrie lands there because he just can't see the two playing on the same team again, sort of indicating that there was an issue between the two. Which is not really surprising, given what we know about their personalities. His tweet at 8:46 last night, Jeff Goodman, if Kyrie goes to Brooklyn, you could pretty much eliminate Horford going there. That was what he put out. That he will not play in the same place as Kyrie. So neither one of those other two guys, Brian Mahoney or A. Sherrod Blakely, mentioned Al Horford in conjunction with Kyrie. They're just talking about the Nets being a potential fit. Horford potentially going there. The Nets being interested. Cap space working. Connection to the head coach. Jim Lout is
shaking. That would be the worst possible outcome.
Jim Lout is hot. He is hot, hot, hot.
Big picture-wise, that's the worst possible outcome, to go to the team you fleeced. And then all it comes, it turns around, and all the assets you built up to try to build your team and all the cap space you cleared.
And they're in a better spot than you.
And then they built, while they were down, they got to build and then just grab two of your guys and say, let's go.
They built up. They were down. They built, built, built. And then they took two guys from Boston, Kyrie and Horford, and off they go. And became a power in the Eastern Conference. Oh, you fleeced us, Danny? Oh, how about this? Boom, kick in the groin. Nets are good. Ha ha! That would suck.
Could you imagine?
And it's the Nets who suck. You Nets. Blah, gross. The Nets. Stupid team name. What's your team? Oh, we're the Basketballs. Like, you suck. Couldn't even come up with a good name.
The Cleveland Courts.
What is that?
Because we play on a court.
What are you? We're the Sneakers. What? Such a horrible name. Yeah, the Nets.
Could you imagine?
No, I can't imagine this.
You want Woj on the Nets from this morning?
Sure, why not? Yeah,
it's Kyrie.
Yes.
What Brooklyn would like to have is not just Kyrie Irving, but a second star come in with him.
Oh, great.
And obviously Kevin Durant is that player. If they don't get a second star, it will be interesting to see if Brooklyn wants to have Kyrie Irving as a solo act. Yeah. That didn't go so great in Boston last year. And so we'll see if Brooklyn is still following through on just Kyrie Irving, because if they don't take Kyrie Irving, they can just bring back D'Angelo Russell at a lower number, younger player. But their focus with the Nets, let's get two stars, Kyrie Irving, to try to get Kyrie Irving to go out and recruit KD for him to come together.
Can you imagine if they say, you know what, we don't want the solo act, Kyrie, but we do want Al Horford. We'll take Al. We don't need you, Kyrie. Appreciate it, but we're good.
So maybe Goodman's right in that they could go to the Nets. He could go to the Nets if Kyrie's not there.
You're right. Al Horford won't play on a team with Kyrie because the Nets no longer want Kyrie Irving. Wouldn't that be a development?
Sign Horford,
now,
keep Russell.
That would be some good, clean fun. And then the Celtics might be back in on the Kyrie sweepstakes.
No, no, no.
Huh?
Nope.
And Kyrie didn't want to play with Al anymore. And now that Al's gone, and maybe the kids can be gone, but find a way to trade them. And then Kyrie can come back, Jim.
No.
Your dreams can come true.
He's not welcome.
He's not welcome. He's not welcome, he says. Marcus is in Savannah on this stuff with the Nets. What do you think about all that, Marcus?
Man, that's crazy. Look, here's something. If Al Horford goes to the Brooklyn Nets, let's say Kyrie goes to the Brooklyn Nets, and Horford goes to the Brooklyn Nets, I'm not a cap expert, but that means there's no Durant going there. So it would be all Horford, Kyrie Irving, and a young core. Now that sounds very similar to what the Celtics had here. So now my angle here is, what indictment would that be on the Celtics' young core? If Horford leaves to join Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn, with a young core, like the same situation that he had here in Boston. So we spent so much time trashing Kyrie, and Kyrie was the problem. Kyrie was the problem. You know, what if the problem was not Kyrie? It was the young kids. I mean, it was the whole Rozier, Brown, and all that stuff.
Good point. It's a good point, Marcus. If he goes with Kyrie, if they were to play together and they join another group of young players with another team, the Nets, they're squarely saying we didn't like the young kids with that team. It wasn't that we don't like playing with young players. We just don't like those young players.
And the coach.
And the coach.
You got to throw the coach in too.
Coach, yep, absolutely.
That ties into what Jackie Mack said about the players being upset about Gordon Hayward's playing time. Who were those players? The guys that lost out on playing time. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, the kids. They lost out on playing time to Gordon Hayward.
I would agree, but you know what? I wouldn't limit it to just the players that were directly impacted. You can have players that are not directly impacted by the playing time and still think a coach is wrong and not like him for it.
Right.
Right? You could say, you know what, this doesn't impact me, but I see my teammate being upset about it, and I think I agree with him, and I think my coach is wrong. And so I'll be upset about it, too. I don't like the way things are being managed here.
I just don't think Horford was one of those guys.
I don't either, because I think he's an adult.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.